This is the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z.
Are you a minority individual living in a majority white neighborhood, city, or town? Do you feel like the other people don't respect you because of the color of your skin? Maybe it's not the color at all. Perhaps you are suffering from culture rejection. Are you a black person living in a white neighborhood but feel like you just don't ever fit in? Perhaps it's those late night parties with all the drugs, the gunplay, and that thumping bass music that is irritating your white neighbors. Are you a Hispanic and feel like an outsider in your lily white neighborhood? Perhaps it's those 75-person quinceañera parties and them all-night Friday fiestas with the mariachi music that have your neighbors saying, "No way, Jose." What you need is act right. Yes, if you get some act right in your routine, then you can fit into the American experience, just like any good melting pot society might expect. With act right, common sense will kick in, and you will learn to fit into any social situation on your block, in your neighborhood, your town, or your city.
Papi?
Si, mi daughter.
Perhaps you should take a dose of act right now before you invite all of those drunken construction guys over here this weekend. You know how all that loud mariachi music irritates most of the people in the cul-de-sac?
See me, daughter. Act right it is.
Oh, Papa, I'm so proud of you. Act right has turned our weekend into an inclusive multi-family gathering that even Republicans can be associated with.
Why, yes, my daughter. Act right has certainly made a difference in my outlook on life. I feel like that I am finally part of the American dream instead of some foreigner looking in from the outside. Thank you for telling me about Act Right.
Yes, you can take the man out of the hood, and you can take the hood out of the man with Act Right.
Yo, Gerald, you plan on partying all night long on Friday again? You gonna have a DJ out there with that thumping bass music and all your homies over there drinking and shooting? You know it's gonna piss off your white neighbors again.
Yeah, bro, that's my plan.
You might want to take some of this new supplement called Act Right. It might make us fit in better in society instead of being always on the outside, you heard?
Wow, Martin, that Act Right has certainly made a difference in my outlook towards my neighbors upon society as a whole. Act Right has made me understand that we all need to respect one another's property and privacy and the sanctity of our shared space in the community at large. Thanks for providing this wonderful product to me. It truly has made me feel like I'm part of the American dream.
Are you a minority sitting on the outskirts of the American dream? Is your lifestyle and questionable behavior contrary to an orderly and peaceful society? Have you felt like an outcast or a substandard member of the American culture? If you answer with yes to any of these questions, then Act Right may just be what you need. Call 1-800-ACT-RIGHT right now for a free sample. Simply pay the shipping and handling fee, and be sure to ask your operator about doubling the order for an additional shipping charge. Act Right now to get your Act Right Express delivered to your door and learn how to act right today. Act Right might help you act right.
This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure any disease. This product has not been evaluated by the FDA or BLM. Individual results may vary.
Well, hello, and welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Mayday, mayday, mayday. I'm not just signaling that the United States is in deep trouble under Joe Biden. It is actually mayday, the first day of May, 2024. Welcome in to a wonderfully sunny Wednesday down here in Bayou Country. I'm Steve Z, the host of this little experiment that has now gone on way longer than I ever thought would be allowed or that I'd ever remain interested in. But the way this nation is going, you need to hear what I have to say. I believe so, and many of you believe so as more and more and more new listeners appear on the Truth Hurts program listener list every single week. It is May 1st, 2024, so now we enter the month of May, followed by June, July, August, September, October, and then 187 days from now, just shy of 6 months total time, we get to elect, hopefully, anyone other than Joe Biden. Anyone. I would take the dog catcher from Bucksnort, Tennessee. I would take the garbage man from Oxnard, California, before I would re-elect Joe Biden. And fortunately, the leading candidate running on the Republican ticket is a guy who's been there and done that. A guy who did indeed for 4 years, despite being shot down, shot at, persecuted, prosecuted, falsely accused. He ran this country better than Joe Biden is, and Joe has virtually zero opposition from the left. Virtually none. Now, I want to go through a few quick things before I get into the main topic of today, because the main topic for today is liable to get me in some deep trouble, and perhaps cost me the ability to continue doing this program. I call it the Truth Hurts program because I speak the truth, and sometimes that truth hurts. And those of you who know me both personally and professionally know that I will apologize if I am indeed wrong about something, but I retract nothing because I speak the truth, even though sometimes that truth hurts. So a few headlines for you first. The government breached Columbia University's occupied buildings last evening. Police, SWAT teams, people dressed in paramilitary gear began the cleanup and clean out of the unlawful illegal occupation at Columbia University, as well as universities in Austin, Texas, Tulane University in New Orleans, and several others around the country. I am a big proponent of the First Amendment to our U.S. Constitution, the right to freedom of speech, as long as you're not yelling fire in a crowded theater or yelling threatening remarks to injure or murder, or, in the case of some of these people, call for genocide of entire races of people, entire nationalities of people. We know we have problems with specific races, ethnic groups here in the United States, but you don't hear me calling for their death and their genocide and their total elimination. I'd love for them to act right, straighten up, follow the rules, obey the law, contribute to society, but I don't call for them all to be killed. Put on boats and shipped back across the ocean, maybe, but not killed. Anyhow, police moved in early this morning in New Orleans, Louisiana, to the campus of Tulane University, which boasts a very high 28% Jewish enrollment. That is one of the fourth or fifth highest Jewish enrollment populations of any university in the USA. And Tulane, a private institution, has the right to call the cops for any reason and have people removed for any reason. I understand the public universities have a little bit more of an issue because people start screaming about their First Amendment right to redress their grievances with their government. And since those public universities are government funded, they use that as a crutch, as an excuse to be able to protest on those public universities' campus locations. I fully understand the right to freedom to protest, freedom to assemble, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of religion. But your expression of your right to those freedoms should not come at the expense of the rights of others being trampled upon. At a university yesterday, some video popped out on one of the news channels where a Jewish student was trying to simply go in and attend his class that he paid for, and he was met by masked, sunglass-wearing, head-covered thugs who said, no, you can't go in. They weren't campus security, weren't police. These were thugs in the pro-Hamas murder movement, and they kept the Jewish student from going to class. Here's my message to any Jewish student who is being denied the education you have paid for. Sue those who block your access first. Then sue the university for failing to protect you and keep you safe. And sue for a full refund of your tuition, because now you have been so traumatized that your grades may suffer. Your ability to learn and absorb information might be somewhat curtailed now that you are looking over your shoulder with your head on a swivel every day, wondering, is today the day one of these pro-Hamas murder-supporting thugs decides to crack open my skull simply because I'm Jewish? I, by the way, am not Jewish, but I understand the persecution. Anyhow, I would sue the university. Then I would sue the police departments for failure to protect me, dereliction of duty. Sue the cities or the counties in which those universities are located for not causing their police department to protect your safety. Once these universities get enough of these lawsuits and enough of these TV ambulance-chasing attorneys start saying, were your classes interrupted because of protesting on the university campus? Call the law offices of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howell today. You may be entitled to significant financial compensation. I am a non-attorney spokesperson. Until those things start popping up, the universities are going to continue to cater to the pro-Hamas militant protesters. They're going to say screw you to anyone of Jewish heritage, Jewish faith, or in support of the Jewish people on campus. We have to start understanding, in order for us to succeed, and this is a message for Republicans, conservatives, common sense patriots. We've tried it our way for a long, long time. We've tried to be peaceful. We've tried to walk within the lines of the law. We've tried to vote on election day and show our ID as we're supposed to do. But perhaps it's time for us to give them a taste of their own medicine. Perhaps it's time that we start acting like the idiots on the left. Perhaps it's time we start organizing wait, what? We can't? What, why not? We're not allowed to? Oh, because we have jobs that we go to every... Gotcha. That's a great point. That's a great point. Mr. Producer just gave me a great piece of information. You can't go out and take the day off to go protesting because you, a contributor to the tax base, would probably lose your job. Anyway, I was reading through the... Enough about that. These campuses need to be brought back under control, period. I was reading through the headlines this morning, and in a publication called The Conversation, written by a bunch of what appears to be Black African American type folks, a story by Thaddeus L. Johnson, assistant professor of criminal justice and criminology at Georgia State University, and Natasha N. Johnson, clinical instructor of criminal justice and criminology at Georgia State University. Almost spit out my Dr. Pepper when I read the headline. It says, to reduce black-on-black crime, these two criminal justice experts explain why offering monthly stipends to people at risk makes sense. These people are teaching at our universities. They're not teaching values. They're not teaching ethics and morality. They're not teaching that in order to be a successful member of our society, at risk, which is a buzzword for African-American, AA, 13% hyphenated minorities, at-risk people should simply get a free check every month. They already do. They get Section 8 housing. They get welfare. They get WIC. They get Social Security supplemental income. They get food stamps. Now you want to give them a paycheck for doing nothing? How about beating their ass into submission and making them work and making them pay taxes and making them contribute to society? I'm going to go into this ridiculous article for just a minute here. After a historic spike in homicides since 2020, murder rates in most U.S. cities appear to be returning to pre-pandemic levels. The drop in murders has sparked some public attention, as was demonstrated during a meeting of the chiefs of police in February of this year at the White House. During that meeting, gropey Joe Biden managed to keep his eyes open long enough to speak highly of investments made in law enforcement and in community anti-violence initiatives during his administration, even though it was his political party that pushed and continues to push defunding the police, allocating resources away from law enforcement into social programs. In 2023, Biden said that the U.S. had one of the lowest rates of all violent crime in more than 50 years, and that was a lie. The striking fact about homicide in the U.S. has been overlooked during such meetings, that Black Americans are murdered nearly 8 times more often than white Americans. Now, you won't see in this story too much about Black men committing those murders. They try to say, well, Black people's being killed in the streets. But they won't say that it's being done by Black people. This article is written to make you think that white people, after a hard 8, 10, 12-hour day at their job, after they go home and abuse their wives and kick their dogs and beat their children, have enough energy left in them after a few beers and a Klan meeting to go into the Black neighborhoods and kill Black people and then try to blame it on Black people. How ridiculous is that? The grave reality, this article says, does not mean Black people are inherently violent. Oh, really? Stop the presses. Violent crime rates by race, according to crimeresearch.org in 2023, murder rates amongst Blacks is between 653 and 738% higher than the murder rate for whites. You heard me correctly. At its peak in 2021, while Joe Biden was the president and into 2022, while Joe Biden is still the president, and into 2023, while Joe Biden somehow is still the president, black murder rate is between 653 and 738% higher than the white murder rate. Now, that's not the people being killed. That's the people doing the killing. In 2022 alone, the murder rate amongst blacks was 653% higher than the murder rate for whites. And the murder rate for Hispanics, taking into consideration the illegal criminal lawbreaking invaders from our southern border, is 65% higher than for whites. From what I see here, my friends, black people be doing a lot of murdering, be doing a lot of killing, be doing a lot of shooting, a lot of stabbing. A lot more murders than whites. 653% higher rate for blacks. So I'll go back to the first article that I began reading to you. It says, the most striking fact about homicide that has been largely overlooked during some such meetings, black Americans are murdered at nearly 8 times the rate of white Americans. Young black men in inner city are, as this article says, disproportionately affected. They're both the primary perpetrators and the primary victims of gun assaults and homicide. So, at least these two black college professors understand that black people be killing black people, and more black people is dying, and more black people is killing than white people and Hispanic people. Making matters worse, this article says, are the high rates of what? You know it. You know the answer, guys. Illegal gun possession amongst young black men in urban areas. And this says the behavior is often driven by reasons beyond criminal intent and include distrust of the legal system and a perceived need for self-protection. In other words, more black people be walking around with stolen guns than white people or Hispanic people, certainly Asian people. Keeping Americans safe requires arresting, prosecuting, convicting, and locking up criminals. The problem of street violence transcends the punishment strategies that emphasize more police, this article says. The problem of street violence transcends the punishment strategies of enforcement of petty crimes, which result in more incarcerations. In other words, these two black people at the University of Georgia are saying, stop arresting and charging and prosecuting and convicting black people for petty crimes. Just let them steal. Let them do all the small crimes. That's okay now, if you're black. This article then says, such traditional tough-on-crime responses fail to address deeper social issues and so-called unwritten rules like street code and the fact that the elusive American dream is keeping young black folks from achieving in America. The street code they speak about discourages police cooperation. It glorifies guns and violence as a way to resolve conflicts and gain respect and street cred. It also encourages intimidation and retaliation against real or perceived threats or even name-calling and insults. So this article goes on and on and on and blah, 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 blah. It says, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, 54% of black men born in the poorest households ends up in the lowest earning brackets between the ages of 28 and 35. They say that white people born into lower income brackets, well, they earn much higher. So, here's the part that really pissed me off. There's one approach that cities should consider. Cash allowances for young black men who are at the greatest risk of committing gun violence. Oh, you look like you're going to be a thug and you probably have an illegal weapon. Let's give you a monthly paycheck. Problem with that theory, of course, is they get a taste of a little bit of free money. They're going to want mo' and mo' and mo' and mo' money. Mo' money, mo' money. It says community-based initiatives like Advance Peace, a nonprofit agency focused on anti-gun violence, address economic pressures beyond street violence and demonstrate the potential of providing people with guaranteed payments each month to not work. It was launched, of course, in California, but it receives funding from city contracts, federal grants, and a few private donations from some ballers.
They offer as much as $1,000 per month in free money. Here you go, homie. Here's $1,000. Please don't go out and rob nobody today. Of course, they put some goals and conditions. You must meet goals steering you away from crime and violence. You must complete an educational course or do something we all are already doing. Find a job. They want to pay young black men who don't work, who don't contribute, who didn't pay attention in class and get an education, to simply be paid $1,000 a month in addition to all of their crimes. Opponents of this monthly stipend include Sacramento County Sheriff Scott Jones. He criticizes the idea of paying people to obey the law. You should be obeying the law because that's the law. He calls the program cash for criminals. He suggests compliance requires monetary incentive rather than personal accountability. So what happens when the 9 months of those $1,000 stipends goes away and homie's accustomed to having an extra grand in his hand? Of course, he's going to want that grand and then some more, and he's going to start committing crime. When will we learn, my friends? When will we learn? I'm going back to the crimeresearch.org page. It says here, the murder rate amongst blacks is 653% higher than the murder rate for whites. The murder rate for Hispanics, including illegals, is 65% higher than for whites. The numbers are not much of an outlier. The murder rate from the period of time from 1990 through 2022 averaged 569% higher than whites. When will we have the courage as a nation to admit we don't have a gun problem, we have an illegal gun problem? We don't have a migrant problem, we have an illegal migrant problem. We don't have a crime problem, we have a black crime problem and a Hispanic crime problem. And you can write any number of things you want. You can have a PhD, which only stands for piled higher and deeper. You can have a PhD and put out your opinion as you profess your opinion as a professor at some liberal, woke, Chinese Communist Party-supported public university and say, we don't have an inherent problem with black crime. But the reality is, oh yes, we do. We have a black problem in this country. I'm not saying that every black person is a criminal. Far from it. But I am showing you the actual, factual, statistical data, the real numbers. More blacks commit more crimes, not only per capita, but percentage-wise, and in sheer numbers, than whites and Hispanics and Asians and Native Americans combined. Hundreds of percent higher percentages than non-blacks. When will we wake up and have the courage to admit that this 13% minority of our citizens is committing the vast overwhelming majority of crimes and do something to disincentivize them beyond paying them money to do what you and I do every day, which is get up, get an education, get a job, work, pay taxes, do the right thing, obey the law, keep our yards clean, and follow the rules of a civilized society. Instead of making excuses for the failures of the blacks in our country, we put sugar-coated names on the problem, like societal disparity, systemic long-term racism. I don't hear too many white people shouting the N-word, which is a racist slur, the N-word that rhymes with bigger. But I hear black people who supposedly are offended by hearing the N-word that rhymes with bigger, screaming it out in the streets to one another, at one another, towards one another, and even towards white people who could never be identified as the N-word that rhymes with bigger, because according to black people, that word is reserved as a bad word against us, the black people. Stop calling white people the N-word that rhymes with bigger. Once you call me that word, it's actually fair license for me to reciprocate. And if you don't know what that word means, crack a book. Look it up in the dictionary. Illegal gun ownership amongst young black men is extremely high. Black men in bad neighborhoods, usually with a street named Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, are more likely to have an unlawful gun in their possession than any white person on Cal Ripken Jr. Boulevard or Dale Earnhardt Jr. Boulevard. Blacks are more likely to kill with a gun than whites. The statistics are there. The facts are there. The numbers are there. The reality is there. We as a nation just have to be bold enough, brave enough, to put a stop to this now. While this minority group is only 13% of the population, their current reproduction rate compared to Caucasians and Asians in the United States, they'll soon be 15% and then 20%. And our numbers, the white folks' numbers, the Asian folks' numbers, will continue to dwindle our percentages of population. The murder rate amongst Hispanics in 1990 was 123% higher than that of whites. And that has come down. In fact, during Donald Trump's final year in office, that number had dropped significantly. His last year in office, 27% higher than whites. Now it's back over 65% under Joe Biden. Why? Because he opened the floodgates. He rolled out the welcome mat and said, come on in. We know you're doing it illegally. We're going to look the other way. He basically tells criminals, because the minute you illegally cross into our nation, you are a criminal. I know there are varying degrees of crime, but it's still a crime to trespass and invade into a foreign country like the United States. But when the Justice Department, or the Injustice Department as I call it, chooses not to prosecute those crimes, chooses not to prosecute crimes of Black African American 13% hyphenated minorities under this lie, this guise, this joke that they have to steal because of their socioeconomic position. They're sending the message, we're not going to prosecute you for any crimes. I've often heard the term, the United States is turning back into the wild, wild west, and I agree wholeheartedly. When we were kids, we played cowboys and Indians, cops and robbers. And now those games are prohibited on schoolyards, playgrounds, and in school settings, because they might offend someone. Why? Are all the white kids the cops and all the black kids the robbers? Is that what you're trying to say? Wake up, my friends. This is the country that you are now living in, and it will only become worse if we reelect Joe Biden, if we reelect Democrats to positions as prosecutors, district attorneys, attorney generals, etc. Wake up, my friends. Wake up and see how your country has declined in 3.5 short years of Joe Biden's rule. How it was on its way back when Donald Trump was your president. If you can't see that, if you refuse to admit that, you might as well get used to what you're going to be enduring more often and more violently. Because sooner or later, those young black thugs are going to realize, hey, why am I killing you, my brother? Let's go out to the white neighborhoods and kills us some white folks and takes their stuff away from them. After all, they got insurance on it. They can just file an insurance claim. They'll get some new stuff. We'll have their old new stuff, and we will be better off. And if they get in our way, we just shoot them, because they ain't going to prosecute us no way, because they don't be prosecuting nobody right now if you black, if you Hispanic. They won't be doing it. All right, gang. Sorry about the ranting nature of this morning's program, but I'm just trying to point out the truth. We do have a problem with a large percentage of one ethnic minority in this country. It's not racist to point out facts and statistics and truth. And I'm sorry if you are offended. I apologize if you are offended. But I retract nothing, because I am speaking the truth, even though sometimes that truth hurts. Have a wonderful Wednesday, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Truth Hurts program. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We apologize if you are offended, but we retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautix. Copyright 2024, the Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved.